respect.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we learned here that we have an unlicensed helicopter pilot in our midst.
It was
a black helicopter, Chris.
It was fun. I'd swoop this way, I'd swoop that way, and then I saw a herd of cattle, so I started swooping down. He had his hands behind his head, and he was kind of snoozing while I was doing this. He was very trusting, and he said, "Well, I don't know if we should be doing that." Well, little did I know, the rancher saw me do this. I was in a dark purple little two-man helicopter. He immediately called the sheriff, reported a mysterious black helicopter harassing his herd. The sheriff and a deputy tried to chase us all the way back to the 60 miles to Crestone, but because the roads are not, you know, direct routes, you have to do the angle turns around pastures and stuff, they couldn't keep up with us. And the Rocky Mountain News the next day reported that mysterious black helicopters seen harassing herds in Monta Vista, Colorado.
So you know what? Isn't that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? Now we know. We have the admission from Chris O'Brien that he was once the pilot of a black or almost black helicopter. Listen, we only have four segments left of this episode, Chris.
I'm not making that up, Kevin. That really happened.
Let's make one other thing clear. When you talk about the unlicensed helicopter pilot, you're talking about Chris, not me, because I do, in fact, have a license. Well,
I understand. I understand the distinction because you're doing it for the military. You're paid and trained to do this. Chris was just having a heap of fun. Chris, more questions from the forums?
Yes, we do have some more. Interesting. I have, a lot of questions here about the cattle. I think we've pretty much covered all this. Okay, here's one from a very recent signee up at the forum.theparacast.com. He calls himself Tom, 1961. And he says, "Mr. Randall, I'm a fan and respect your service to our country. Do you think the U.S. government has alien bodies somewhere?"
Yes. Do we need to modify the answer?
Well, maybe a couple of more details. You have 3.5 segments.
See, yeah, I think the Roswell case, to me, the Roswell case is pretty well established as being alien in nature, and the bodies were recovered from that crash. So, yes, the government has them. We can trace them off the scene in New Mexico. We can get them to Wright Field, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. From that point on, we don't know. General Exxon told us that one of the bodies had been sent to Lowry Air Force Base in Denver. Lowry at the time was the Army's mortuary service was there, so they sent one of the bodies there to, find out the best ways to preserve it without altering the chemical and biological nature of the samples. And then it apparently went back to Wright Field. We have some very good testimony from people who are involved. We have some very good testimony from the people at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Frankie Rowe, who Carl Flock in his book took to task and said the Roswell Fire Department wasn't involved in this. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier about the press not asking the follow-up question. Carl in his book would quote from a firefighter who says, "Yeah, we weren't involved, we didn't do anything, we didn't go out there, end of story." And I talked to the guy sometime after Carl Flock did, and I asked him the same question, got the same story. They didn't go out there. And then I asked him one other question. I said, "You know Dan Dwyer," which was Frankie Rowe's father. He was a firefighter there. He said, "Oh, yeah, he went out." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, he went out. This colonel from the base had come out and told us that we didn't have to go out there. They would take care of it. Don't worry about it." I've always wondered why it's always a colonel, never a captain, never a major. It's always a colonel. Came out to tell him that, and he said, but Dan went out in his personal car, and he saw the craft, he saw the bodies. Carl didn't ask the question. He got the information he wanted, which was the firefighters didn't go out there, the fire department wasn't involved, they didn't make a run out there, and that was the end of that, and I asked the one more question and got the rest of the story out of it. So, yes, I believe that the U.S. government has the alien bodies. I believe they would preserve them because they would be unique biological samples, and you don't know when you get more specimens. They would be fairly rare, given where they came from. So, yes, I believe that the government does have alien bodies.
Okay, so how do we nail this down to a point where we can prove to anybody this is so? Maybe the evidence points that way, and certainly there are reasons, if there were aliens, to think that if there was a crash, we'd recover the bodies, and maybe we would try to learn something about them. But how do we prove it?
what we need to do is find the photographs, find where the bodies are, and get the people who are involved in the autopsies and the studies to admit the truth and give us all the information about it. What we hope to do with the Dream Team is not get quite that far, but establish enough information, establish enough credible information, enough credible evidence that the event took place. And I think we can do that, given some of the stuff that we've uncovered, some of the stuff that's going on, some of the things that have been said in the past. But for the most part right now, it comes down to the credibility of the people who were there, who saw these sorts of things, and eliminate the nonsense that's going on. There's an awful lot of people running around talking about how they were in Roswell and they did this and they did that, and that really complicates the issue because there are people who want to believe them, regardless of the evidence against what they're saying. You know, well, this guy wasn't there. Well, he came in on a special flight and nothing was logged. Well, if he can't prove he was there, then he does us no good. That sort of thing. You know, we go with the people who were there. So we need to clarify who was there, who was not. Walter Hott provided us with a wonderful document, which was the yearbook they published. I think it was actually finally published in November of 1947. So we have a list of some 1,500 people assigned to the base in 1947. So if you say you were in the base, I can go to that book. And if your picture's there, we know you were. If your picture's not there, well, you might have been there, but we don't have the proof. Then we can go to the phone book. We can go to the city directory. There are other ways we can verify that. One guy, Daniel Rasmussen, his niece was talking about how he had told her about the craft and the bodies. He had been involved in it. Rasmussen's picture's not in the yearbook, but his name is in the Roswell Army Airfield phone book. He's there as a captain. So, yeah, we can prove that he was there. Pappy Henderson. It doesn't have an individual picture in the yearbook, but there's a picture in the back of him with his flight crew. So, you know, we know Pappy Henderson. Yeah, he was there. One guy submitted documents with the names of other guys who were there. Melvin Brown, to prove he was there at the right time, submitted a set of orders he had, and there were a number of people being assigned to specific things. Jesse Marcel Sr.'s name was on the orders as one of the officers being involved in that. So there are ways to prove the people were there, and by going through that information and carefully analyzing that information, looking for other documentation, I think we can get to the point where, worst case, we can prove that none of the alternative answers that have been offered for Roswell are viable, and then we're left with a single explanation. So we can do it that way, and I think if we can get far enough down the path, we've got some things going that may help us document this even further.
You think after all these years, though, that someone somewhere would have a photograph, something you can grab a hold and prove this is true or not?
And we're hoping to find that person. We have talked to a number of people who had debris and have subsequently lost it. Robert Smith comes to mind. I guess he didn't have one, but he saw a piece that a sergeant had, but he couldn't remember who the sergeant was. Pappy Henderson supposedly had a piece of debris, and we visited, and I say we, I should point out, Stan Friedman and I visited Pappy's wife, Sappho Henderson, in California, 92, 93, and we were going to go through his materials, and there were two big, huge sheds in the backyard, and he says, it's in there. And these sheds were packed from floor to ceiling with boxes and all kinds of stuff. And she says, if he still had it, it would be in there. And we just couldn't do it. We didn't have the time. We just could not do that. Supposedly, one of his friends, Crumshoulder, I think his name was, had a piece of the debris. We tracked that guy down. He said, no, he didn't have it. So, I mean, we followed a lot of those leads. We followed leads of pictures. A fellow told me that a guy named Stanton, he would only give us the first name. A guy named Staten had pictures. He'd been a cowboy, and he happened to get pictures of these things before the Army showed up. And he wouldn't give us the last name, and all he would tell us, he lived in Roswell. So we went to the tax assessor and says, can you sort by first names?
And we're not going to have that answer. Can the tax assessor sort by first names? How efficient was that tax assessor? Kevin Randall will answer the question with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hi, my name is Stephen Huer. As a degreed nutritionist, my first priority is for you to get healthy. That won't happen if I make wrong recommendations or cause you to spend money on supplements you don't need. After 20 years working with thousands of products and thousands of people, I know, for the most part, what does and does not work. One World Whey is the first and only unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows on the market. It retains substances that no other whey protein powder has. These nutritive compounds supply life-giving nutrition. Your body merely needs the right conditions to make great health happen. Due to low-quality foods, toxicity, and aging, having great health is more of an effort than ever. One World Whey is the superfood of the century, and when added to your diet, it promotes energy, detoxification, muscle gains, fat loss, and overall radiant health. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Kevin D. Randall, you go back to the tax assessor. You ask him the critical question.
Can you sort by first names?
And what was his response?
Yes. So he gave him the name. He sorted through it. I think he came up with three hits. Two were businesses, and one was a guy who fit the description. So Don Schmidt and I went and visited him, chatted him up for a couple of hours. He didn't have any pictures. But the point was, I mean, we made a real effort to find this guy, and it was just incredible that we could find the guy based only on, I mean, he had a bizarre first name, and we were able to sort by first names and get to that. We chased a lot of that stuff, and we're continuing to chase some of that stuff. One of the things we had not done, because it was a little bit more difficult, was back in 1947, the services were segregated. The African Americans had their own squadrons, and they had Squadron S at Roswell. There were two white officers in command, and the NCOs and everybody else was, you know, everybody else was African American. In fact, Cal Korf said that you could disregard some of the information because there were no black NCOs at Roswell, black sergeants at Roswell in 1947. And so I got out the yearbook and I counted, I think, 25 of them. So I said, well, that's not right. We have interviewed. We've been able to find some of them as well, and have gotten some interesting stories, but nothing that would be good evidence. But you know, the point is, we get to some of the people, and they have tales that they tell us, and we get to some of the others, and they say, no, I know nothing, which is what you would expect in a military operation that would end up classified, that not everybody would know about it. So, you know, we're just trying to put together good eyewitness testimony of what they saw, how they did it. We've eliminated some things, some people that we thought had given us good testimony because their stories just do not track when we sit down. One guy was talking about how they were involved with the craft and the bodies, and it turns out his flight crew wasn't there in the critical time. They had been assigned TDY somewhere else, and we quizzed him about it. I said, well, no, I heard the story from other people. So he wasn't there himself. So we say, well, it's a secondhand story. Okay, it's interesting, but it doesn't do much for us. So we hope by tracking down some of this stuff, we can put together some very solid eyewitness testimony, and we can get some good documentation to back us up. We have limited documentation, and we're continuing to search for more.
Chris, we have another few questions.
We do, and this one's an interesting one. It comes from a brand new signee, you know, person that formed out the Paracast.com, calling himself OS Prime. He just signed up a couple of weeks ago. Hi, Mr. Kevin. I find all your research and books fascinating and had a couple of questions as being someone that doubts disclosure by the government about aliens, crashes, or conspiracies or anything pertaining to these subjects will happen anytime soon. But he's curious, Kevin. He has an interesting question here. Which do you think would be more accepted or less accepted and have less or more of a negative impact on the world, if these aliens and crafts are from another planet galaxy, or that all the things we're seeing in the sky are actually here from Earth, like the crypto or ultra-terrestrial, whether it be underwater in the Arctic caverns and caves and even the fantastical Hall of Earth. So which do you think would be easier to accept and harder to accept?
I would guess that it would be easier to accept something that was Earth-based, simply because it's Earth-based. When you start talking about aliens from other solar systems, I don't think it would be other galaxies, because the other galaxies are really, really far away. So, but I don't know the mechanism of traveling these interstellar distances. So maybe traveling between galaxies is as simple as traveling between stars. I don't know.
You know, there, before you go on with that answer, there is a story this week from one of the science publications about more and more research being done into using wormholes or some sort of warp drive system to travel between the stars, and how logically it could come about. One of them using negative energy, and I was thinking of Star Trek's antimatter. Go ahead, please.
But we're talking about travel among the stars. You know, the closest star to Earth, other than the Sun, is, what, 4 light years away, and there's a whole bunch within 50 light years. So that's fairly close, speaking galactically. But the galaxy is some 110,000 light years across and 30,000 light years deep, and the closest galaxy, full galaxy to us, other than the satellite galaxies around us, is Andromeda, which is, what, 2.2 million light years away. So, I mean, that's a fantastic distance. So I don't know if it's as easy to travel those massive distances, or we're kind of limited to what we can do based on all that. But I think that something that would be Earth-based would not be as disruptive as something that was extraterrestrial. But I don't know, because I can think of ways in which an Earth-based technology like that would be extremely disruptive and maybe more frightening because they were able to hide for so long from us. So, I mean, it's an interesting question, and I guess the answer is I don't have a good answer.
That brings back up that whole question of disclosure and the extent of the government's actual, the quality and depth of their knowledge about this.
Well, I don't think the government would lie to us, would they? Do we have any examples in history of the government lying to us at all?
Do we have any examples in history where the government has not lied to us?
I mean, poor old Dwight Eisenhower standing there and saying, "We're not flying spy planes over the Soviet Union." Dwight, this is Gary Powers here. Meet Gary Powers. He was flying your spy plane over our Soviet Union. Disclosure, if we're talking extraterrestrial, I think disclosure would be forced by the aliens landing someplace where they say, "Here we are," and there's no way to disguise it, and the government has to say, "Yeah, well, we've known about this for a long time, so don't worry about it." I mean, they've been coming here for a long time, and they haven't invaded or blown up the White House or anything like that.
Well, they get Roland Emmerich, the director. He's very good at blowing up the White House. He's done several films.
Yes, yes. I have a very nice picture of the White House I took while I was in Washington, but that's another story. But I think the aliens can force disclosure. I think that back in the mid-1990s, those of us investigating Roswell had frightened somebody, because I can think of no motivation for them to investigate the Roswell case to say there's nothing to it if we hadn't frightened them in some fashion about what we were discovering and what we were getting out, and they had a way to defuse the situation. And I think when they first came out with their idiotic reports back then, everybody kind of nobody really bought into it, but today everybody says, "Well, yeah, the government explained, the Air Force explained it as a weather balloon. We're happy with that now." But I think, I think that if we can kind of all come together in a consensus of good, solid information, we may force something from the government. But I think the only way it's really going to happen is if the aliens show up and say, "Here we are."
I think the issue I have about disclosure is, if there's a secret there, how do they keep it year after year? You have all these political factions. You have all the stuff that's leaking out now about NSA, that there hasn't been some sort of whistleblower that really has something they have to admit, something solid. You wonder about that. We'll get into an answer from Kevin Randall in a moment. The book is Alien Mysteries and Conspiracies and Cover-Ups and that sort of thing. That's not the full title, but I'm just adding a few words to it. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Hi, my name is DeRay, suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We designed a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Kevin Randall joining us, talking about, right now, disclosure. So, again, it always comes back to this, that if there's guilty knowledge within the government, and they have such a heck of a problem keeping things hidden, as we see now with the NSA stuff going on, why isn't there a guy who gets in there, a Snowden or someone, who gets in there and gets all this information and releases it to WikiLeaks before it can be stopped?
We have, well, we are discussing it. We have had people come out and talk about it.
But not in a way that anybody believes, except for, you know, in general, a third of the people in the United States believe that UFOs are real, which would mean they feel they're extraterrestrial. That's just a belief, where we talk about it on shows like this. But, I mean, in a way where the government is forced to say, yeah, that's the leak that they were afraid of. They've got to admit something.
I think they've done such a wonderful job of hiding the material. And we look at the MJ-12 stuff and say, wow, here's the smoking gun. Government documents proving that there were alien creatures. And now it's pretty well proven that it's a hoax. So you become, is this a disinformation campaign to keep the idea of ridicule of going on, so that if this documentation does show up, we can just ridicule it like we have in the past? Is it so narrowly held that you don't get somebody like Snowden that has access to it? I'm stunned that Snowden was able to gain access to as much as he did. Back in the olden days, before we had computers and you could get access to crack every kind of thing, you know, access was really, really limited. So that it made sense back then. It may be that they've been very careful in isolating this material, so that you don't get a Snowden who is releasing it, or you end up with, well, this is a disinformation campaign type stuff.
So maybe you hire some Secret Service agents, send them over to a Warehouse 13 where they investigate the alien artifacts and the evidence, but it's done in such a way that it just doesn't become obvious to anybody.
it's got to be very narrowly controlled, and you've got to be very, very careful about who you bring into it. And I think this may be the path to disclosure eventually, is that somebody like Snowden gets in there and says, you know, here's the UFO documents. There have been things that have appeared in the UFO documents that are stunning, that have been leaked. There's I've got an FBI report which the FBI is saying, well, we didn't really investigate UFOs. I got a report from the 1960s in which an FBI agent attended a lecture by, I think it was George Van Tassel, the contactee, and he submitted an official report to Washington, D.C. about what went on at this UFO lecture that Van Tassel gave. So they were clearly investigating stuff. Van Tassel was a contactee. I think he was the Venusian guy, and Adamski the Martian? No, it's the other way around. Van Tassel was the Martian guy, and Adamski was the Venusian guy. But
it doesn't really matter in the scheme of things.
Yeah, well, but the point simply is the FBI was keeping tabs on these guys and seeing what they said under the guise of their research. So documents do come out. We've Project Moondust, which was their investigation of returning space debris of foreign manufacture, which could mean extraterrestrial. And when Jeff Bingaman from New Mexico queried the Air Force about Project Moondust, they said, there's no such project, never existed. And when the documentation was presented that the State Department accidentally leaked that says Project Moondust on it, the Air Force said, we'd like to modify our last statement. The Moondust did exist. We never used it. Well, in the book I've been working on, Secrets of the Government Files, going through Project Blue Book Files, I actually found references to Moondust in the Project Blue Book Files. I was able to determine that Moondust began in December of 1958. So this investigation has been going on. You heard virtually nothing about it. Here's an investigation they denied existed. They were caught in the lies. And you still don't get anything. The press isn't interested in that, and that might be part of the problem as well.
You know, I wrote this fanciful editorial for the Paracast newsletter just the other week, and I suggested that the way this country has been conditioned about the government and about whether we should trust our government, President Obama could deliver a press conference saying, "Yes, we are aware that there are possible alien visitors in our skies. They don't represent an apparent threat." And most people wouldn't believe it. They'll wonder, gee, what's on Survivor tonight?
No, it would be even more disgusting than that. It would be who's on The Bachelorette tonight? Who's the Bachelorette? What is Kim Kardashian, and I hesitate to mention that name, what has she done with her baby today?
Or Honey Boo Boo.
Well, that's even worse. But Everybody's so interested in that sort of, or what, Alec Baldwin's latest rant on TV, and the president says, well, there's alien visitation, and they're saying, yeah, but Alec Baldwin was really nasty in this rant.
You know, am I the only person on the planet who enjoyed Alec Baldwin when he played The Shadow?
Probably.
I think I was the only one to watch the movie.
You watched the whole thing?
I did. I thought it was over the top because, you know, I remember the original character because if you listen on Sirius XM radio, there's something there called When Radio Was Young. And I interviewed this guy, Greg Bell, who runs the show for my tech radio show. And they played the old recordings of The Shadow and The Lone Ranger and Superman and all that stuff. So I got to listen to it. I read a couple of the novels. And what they did is they took the character of The Shadow for that movie with Alec Baldwin, and they exaggerated everything. It was way over the top, and maybe that's why it really didn't go down very well. But then if you consider The Shadow in the background, it's just Batman Begins. The first part of The Shadow resembles Batman Begins, where Bruce Wayne goes to the Orient or somewhere and discovers the abilities as a fighter to become, you know, forget about the Caped Crusader. Let's go back to disclosure. Okay. Now, what is the best way, if there is a secret to be held, to persuade the government to release it? Now, Leslie Kane feels her method, which is don't go to the government saying, we know you have a secret, tell us the truth. We know they're spaceships. Don't do that. Just give them the evidence and let them draw their own conclusions that naturally follow from the evidence. Force them to accept it, maybe by just overwhelming them. Don't give them conclusions. What do you think?
Well, I think the way that Steve Bassett was doing it with his citizen hearing was a good way to bring forward people who have some good information to share. I think the Missileers, Salas and the boys, is a good way, because you can go back and you can document that. You can document a lot of that stuff that was going on at Malmstrom Air Force Base in 1967 and other Air Force bases later on. You can document that stuff, and you can say, you know, this was a matter of national security at the time. And so we can understand why you were less than candid about it. But the documentation exists that these events did take place. In fact, in one of the unit histories, it was after the missiles were shut down by this UFO, the unit history says there were no UFOs involved in this incident. Why even bring it up if there were none involved? You know, you can document these sorts of things. And I think that is really the way to do it, is present the best evidence that you possibly can. And I think that was what happened in the mid-1990s on the Roswell case, is we were getting very close to the answer, and a lot of people were listening what we had to say, and the Air Force felt that it had to do something to kind of derail the investigation. And they were able to do that with their Project Mogul nonsense. I mean, if you look at the big, thick Roswell report, very little of it has to do with the Roswell case. It's all this balloon crap thrown in there that makes it look really impressive and really scientifically investigated. But when you get down to it, it's really just one or two key phrases out of a diary or the field notes of the scientists involved in the Project Mogul releases that are key. All the rest is padding to disguise what's really being hidden.
We'll find out more about what might be hidden away with Kevin Randall joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
And more important,
search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, our final segment with Kevin D. Randall, extremely prolific author of over 100 books, including Alien Mysteries, Conspiracies and Cover-Ups, and he's probably got 10 more books he sent to his publisher. Right, Kevin?
Yes, and there's e-books on Kindle that you can go buy for a song, practically, if you want an e-book.
So if Chris sings a song, he gets a free book?
To the right people.
Probably if he sings a song. If I sing a song, they will pay me to stop.
Probably.
And but, he hasn't heard me sing, but he's...
The book that we've been talking about, it's on Kindle. There's some other books. Project Blue Book Exposed is on Kindle, and you can get it as an audio book. There's a book called Conversations, which is a bizarre investigation that I'd done on... it turned into a past life regression that dealt with some really bizarre things. So there's some interesting stuff at Kindle, and you can buy the... latest book there as well, and it's cheaper than buying it in a bookstore, which probably will make Barnes & Noble really happy I said that, and my publisher.
Well, I can't wait for Kindles to come out with a function that every time you move your finger and change a page, you hear a page turn, and a little puff of newsprint comes out.
Well, what I think is interesting, if you do it slowly enough, you can read the page that you're turning, you can read it backwards. Yeah, you see it on the other side of the paper when you turn the page. It's kind of... I was always one of these, I'm not going to get a Kindle. I like the tactile nature of holding the book in my hand, and then I ended up with an iPad, and I got the Kindle app, and it's just great.
Yeah, it's all downhill from there. My girlfriend just upgraded to the larger 8-inch screen, and she's offered to give me her Kindle, and I've been reading Walter Bosley's latest book on the Sonora Aero Club, or attempting to. Actually, I've been reading the one prior to that, and I can see the attraction to it because, boy, you can fit a lot of books into that one little tablet.
Well, but not only that, if you find a book you want, I don't have to go to the bookstore. I just tap on this, and it's sent directly to my iPad, and I can start reading it within minutes. You know?
Yeah, that's true. It is awful convenient. It's interesting how technology just keeps leaping ahead and in leaps and bounds. There's no question that it's going to turn the newspaper or possibly publishing just in total, just totally upside down.
Being an old magazine writer, You used to go to the magazine racks and look at all the magazines that were there, and can I write for this magazine and this magazine, and do I have an interest here, and how do you? And now you go to the magazine racks, and they're just so reduced, and if you're not interested in tattoos, guitars, cars, or guns, you're screwed. You know, that's basically all they publish magazines about anymore.
Right, or celebrity gossip.
Did they have that?
Well, they've got Entertainment Weekly is still available as a magazine. Time Magazine is still out as a print version.
And how much longer is that going to last?
I think a week or two.
By the way, I was the man of the year twice on Time Magazine. The year we were in Iraq, it was the American soldier who was the person of the year for Time, and the next year it was you. You know, they had the cover with the silver thing on it.
With the mirror, yeah. Yeah.
And so we all were the person of the year in Time Magazine.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. We had questions?
Well, the question we're going to have here is, I guess, back to disclosure. And let's look at the realistic situation as it stands now. We've had the citizen hearing on disclosure. We have Leslie Kane's efforts to talk to people in the government and the scientific community. How close are we getting?
The government has no motivation for disclosure. There's no reason for them to disclose, and that's the problem. You know, if the aliens arrive, then it's going to have to be disclosure because they have no alternative. But at this point, I cannot see a motivation for the government to disclose that there is alien visitation. There's just no motivation for it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Kevin. And I think there may be a tie-in with other countries coming forward and opening up their UFO files, possibly as a way to keep the heat off the U.S., who obviously is sitting on quite a bit of information. But there's also that other aspect of this that people tend to forget, and that is that much of this information may be in the private sector in the aerospace industry. And, of course, that is out of reach because of proprietary knowledge and these companies you can't do an FOIA on an aerospace company.
Well,
you might...
FOIA doesn't work very well anymore anyway.
Yeah.
I've sent probably a half dozen requests to the Secretary of the Air Force to talk about their investigation back in the 1995s, and I haven't even got a response. They used to send you a card and said, well, we were looking at this. We'll get back to you with this. They don't even bother with that anymore.
Hmm. So do you think this whole effort is going by the wayside, that these requests are more and more, as more and more requests are being filed, you think they're just being ignored?
I think so, yes. I think that's exactly what happened. There's no, the teeth have been taken out of the law after 9/11. And they ignore them. I've had some very good luck with requests through the internet to the Air Force on a couple of other things, but mostly the written requests are being ignored. And I've talked to some other researchers about that, and they said the same thing, that FOIA just doesn't work the way it used to.
Well, it's funny when we the people don't have recourse to find out what we the people are actually, you know, should be privy to if we go through the proper channels and make the proper requests. And that goes along with much of what's going on in the country right now.
Well, I sent a request. I gave them the title of the document I wanted. I gave them the date. I gave them who signed it. I gave them all the information about it that you could possibly want. And they wrote back and said, your information is incomplete. You got the name of the author, you got the title of the document, you got the date of the document, you got where it was issued. What more do you want?
Yep, I think that's pretty indicative of the FOIA getting watered down, as you put it, and the teeth have gone out of it. It's unfortunate.
Well, I suppose if they want an excuse, they can say it's the sequester, or they needed more money to go into the NSA data centers, so therefore they don't have enough money for Freedom of Information requests and to honor them. Kevin Randall, this may be the final question of the evening here. Is any of this going to happen in our lifetime? Will we get an answer to Roswell? Will we have some kind of disclosure?
I'm hoping that we'll have an answer for Roswell here soon with our team efforts trying to uncover stuff. But I think eventually we'll have disclosure. We'll know what's going on. Eventually it'll get to the point where it can't be hidden anymore. We've got to remove the ridicule factor from it. Well, if you see a UFO, you must be crazy type stuff. And that's a very powerful weapon they have against us, making fun of the people who see stuff. And the reporters don't help. I remember when the guys were launching the balloons in New Jersey trying to prove that UFO investigators were credulous and would believe anything. And you've got a news reporter, and she's talking to some little girl with her lollipop and says, what do you think of the aliens? I'm thinking, what possible information can you get from this six-year-old kid that is going to be of any value?
Well, she tells you about her UFO abduction. It's going to get pretty crazy. Hey, Kevin Randall, tell our listeners where they can find more of the stuff that you write about.
The latest book is out in the bookstores. You can get it there. You can find it on Amazon, of course, as either a hard copy or for your e-reader. And I'm sure Barnes & Noble has it on their Nook as well. So it's all the e-readers available. You can just go to Kindle, type in Kevin Randall. You can take a look at all the books that I have available on Kindle.
And you have a blog.
Yes, I do. Thank you. It's called A Different Perspective. It's at kevinrandall.blogspot.com. And there's a lot of information. I did a lot of stuff about the citizen hearing after I got back from there. And some things that we found out since then, and some discussion of the pre-Arnold 1947 UFO sightings.
And you can find Chris' stuff over at OurStrangePlanet.com. That's OurStrangePlanet.com. It's still being updated. You can find us at ThePowerCast.com. That's ThePowerCast.com. There is a Powercast fan club, two of them, in fact, on Facebook. Maybe someday we'll learn to make it one. And, of course, you can check us on Twitter, where we're known as The Powercast. And, by the way, in a future episode, we're going to bring you up to date on the incredible Cash Landrum UFO case from 1980, coming in the next couple of weeks, and lots more. With Gene and Chris, a special thank you to Kevin Randall. Thanks for joining us this week on The Powercast.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoyed the opportunity to share what I have found in the last few weeks.
The Powercast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Powercast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.